I know there's been some misunderstanding among Christians about why we're Christians. How many think God just saved you so you can get to heaven? How many think that God just saved you so you're not bound by Satan anymore? Have you ever realized that you have been saved, bondage is broken, God's kingdom in your life? Remember, the kingdom of God is in the midst of us or within us. The kingdom of God right now is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. There is a kingdom of heaven coming to earth. That's going to be when Jesus sets up his 1,000-year reign. But right now, the kingdom of God is within you when you accepted Jesus Christ. But God worked in your life, changed your life, so that you will rule and reign on earth. Not just 1,000 years. The Bible talks about that we're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. But that we can rule and reign right now. I don't want to pop your political bubble, but the most important people in the world aren't the leaders of the nations. The most important people in the world are those Christians who are walking in the Spirit of God and ruling and reigning and allowing the Holy Spirit to rule in your life, and you're ruling and reigning and defying the spirit of darkness of the devil right now. God designed you for dominion. Now, don't look at me like you don't understand what I'm talking about. Maybe you don't. But it's time you learn. God designed Adam for dominion. Not to be subject to every spirit and everything around him. When Adam failed, and we're going to show you some verses in a moment, God's design kind of fell apart until Christ came. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. I know I give you this verse a few weeks ago. But probably by now, Loretta's forgot, unless you heard Joel or somebody say it on TV. But Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, how many pay attention when God says something? Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God said, let us make man and let him have dominion. In some of your translations, and I looked it up in some today, including the New Living Translation, it says, let him rule. Okay? Let him rule. Let him be in charge. God made earth. How many believe that? Or how many of you thinking you came from a monkey? Or an ape? I wonder sometimes. God made man, and he said, God said, man didn't say, I'm going to rule. God said, let him rule. And that's part of the problem. Many Christians are not even ruling in their own lives for the choices they make. So God is looking at his creation and saying, let him rule. Go with me to Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. Verse number 3. Of course, verse number 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. It says, when I consider the heavens, the work of your hands, the moon, the stars, which you have made, what is man that you're mindful of him. And some of your translation, next verse will say, what are people that you visit him? Or the Son of Man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of your seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. You have made him to have dominion. You have made him to rule. Now here's what happened, and we're going to go there in Scripture, and I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. What happened is that man sinned. Adam and Eve sinned. They gave that dominion to the enemy. Jesus had to die, rise from the dead to conquer death, hell, and the grave, right? So Jesus took the dominion back that he gave man. He took it back from the devil, and then Jesus gave man what is called, in legal terms, power of attorney. Now, I know what power of attorney is. I've had power of attorney. And what power of attorney means is that you have the right to act in somebody else's name and in their behalf. So if something happened to Judy and I and we gave Troy or Tracy or Kathy power of attorney, they could sign our checks. They wouldn't find anything, but they could sign the checks. They could make decisions. God has given to his people power of attorney to act in his name. In other words, when we start thinking, well, we're just nothing on earth, we're just wimps, we're just waiting to go to heaven, some people are, unfortunately, and they may get there quicker than they want. But God has given you the ability to act in his name. He said this, whatever you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. And that's what the verse says. I know what it says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed. But the actual translation of that is, when we bind something, that's already been bound. When we loose something, that's already loosed. When we take the authority that God has given us, and every one of us are living underneath that. We're walking around as pilgrims and sojourners and foreigners, but we act like we have nothing. Now, I'm not giving you an ego trip, but there is so much more that we can step into as believers that we have missed. But here's the deal. When Adam sinned, the consequences of that sin are very sobering. Because from that time, every single person except Christ has been born into sin. Since that time, every single person has needed a redeemer. What's a redeemer? You've heard that term. A redeemer is one who pays the price or buys back that which was stolen. And so Jesus became the redeemer. He bought us back. He paid the price. He accomplished what no other person could do. He didn't do that so you could still live in the bondage of sin. He didn't do that so you could walk around looking at yourself and thinking of yourself, well, I'm just nothing. He did that so we could take hold of that power of attorney and act in his name. He's preparing us, and I'll show you at the end of the message, because every single believer that has been born and died since the time of the resurrection are going to rule and reign with Christ on planet Earth. Don't think for 1,000 years you're going to be sitting on some throne someplace and just looking up in the skies and waiting for this whole thing to be burned up. It'd be nice, but it's not going to happen. You're going to have responsibility. Say responsibility.
Responsibility.
And it is your responsibility to make sure you get there. It is your responsibility to make sure that you are going to be ruling with Christ, because that's what you are destined for. The ultimate thing that God is going to do with us, besides save us and change us and conform us to His image, we're going to live on this earth that has been full of all kinds of garbage, and we're going to rule and reign with Christ all over the world. Even you, Joyce. Martha, you can have old agency. And so we're coming to a place where we need to understand some things. But before we go too deep into this, let's take another look at the sin issue. You know these verses. Look at Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23. Now, if you don't know these verses, mark them down, because they're wonderful verses when you're taking people to Christ. I want you to understand something. Sin destroyed man's ability to rule. And man became subservient, which means he became a servant of sin. And in your life, if there's habits or bondages or things that are controlling you, you'll never rule with Christ until you allow Christ to break that bondage of sin and you start ruling over your own life. Okay, look at me for a moment. Every one of us have sinned. Every one of us. The only difference is this. Who's allowing sin now to control your life, or are you controlling your life through the Spirit where you don't sin? That's the issue. You have that choice, and I'll tell you that in a moment. I'm getting ahead of myself. The difference between you and a person living out there, doing their own thing, walking their own life, is that you have been forgiven, and in the name of Jesus, you should have taken authority over the sin question, and you are not a slave anymore to sin. The Bible says you need to consider yourself dead to sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. I'll show you that in the Bible. And so we're not going to reign as Christ wants us to. We're not going to rule as Christ wants us to until we come to a place of saying, I'm not being a servant of the devil. Amen? Come on. Don't get so excited. Because God has given you that choice, and you have to make that choice. When you go out there and sin, you're making a choice that I'm going to be the servant of sin. When you're walking with the Lord and you're overcoming the devil and the temptations, you're making a choice. I'm not going to allow Satan and sin to be in control of my life. And there's an issue. Because how are we going to ever rule and reign with Christ if we're not going to take authority over that which wants to destroy us now? Amen or oh me? Are we okay? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23 says what? For the wages of sin is what? But the gift of God is through who?
Jesus.
Pastor Fearing? No, through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so we come to that place of choosing. I want to take you to Romans 6:16. I want to show you what I've just been telling you about making choices. In Romans 6:16, it says this: Do you not know? Say it with me, I now understand. Okay, Paul is asking, do you not know? I want you to respond, I now understand. One more time.
I now understand.
That includes you, Tony. Okay. I now understand. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether sin according to death or obedience according to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. Okay, here we go. You're out there doing your thing, being good. Teenagers, don't be stupid. And all of a sudden somebody says, well, let's go get some beer, let's go do this, let's go get some drugs, let's go take this. And you're out there and you made the choice to serve God. You made the choice to walk with God. You made the choice that I'm going to be more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer. I'm a victor. I'm in charge of this now because the Holy Spirit has set me free. And I'm not going out there, but all of a sudden you become a little bit like Eve. Satan said, has God said? Take a bite? He said I shouldn't, but okay. We do the same thing. Kids say, let's just go have a little fun. Let's do this, let's do that, let's do something else. Yeah, I can do that. What happened to our willpower? What happened to the power of the Holy Spirit? What happened to the fact that we are more than conquerors? What happened to the fact that I'm not going to be a slave to sin? I'm not going to bow my knee to the devil. Listen to me. Every time you go back on God, and every time you go back in that world, and every time that habit pops up that you're trying to break, you've bowed your knee to Satan. And you said, Satan, I am now serving you. You say, oh, I wouldn't do that. Huh? All the time. There's one thing that troubles me in the life of Christians today, is that Satan has more power in their lives than the Holy Spirit. That Satan will sow a thought, will sow a seed, and we're right there to do it, and we don't allow the Holy Spirit to break the bondage of that temptation, because the Bible says this, that with every temptation, God will make a way of escape. The problem is, we don't take enough time when we're tempted to find the way of escape. We jump into it. And that's why the Bible says you need to choose. Because it's your choice. If you're on campus, or mom and dad, if you have a chance to swindle somebody and lie and cheat and steal and do other things, that's wrong. Say no. Come to a place of saying, I'm not bowing my knee to the devil. I'm not opening my life to him. The Bible says if we've known the way of righteousness and we go back, it's like a dog returning to his vomit. It's better that we never known than go back and bow our knees to the devil. Nobody can make that choice for you, teenager. Nobody can make that choice for you, mom and dad. You've already made up your mind whether or not you're going to walk this life out with God or whether you're going to bow your knee to the devil. You've already made your mind up by your thoughts, and it will affect your actions whether or not you're going to walk this life out. Listen, don't ever forget something. When you're away from home, God still sees you. Hello? Very interesting. Some people go out of town to sin. They think God don't know where they are. Yeah, man, I put on the Teflon or I put on the tin foil and God just bounces around. He's looking for me. He don't know where I am. He doesn't see me out here doing this. God doesn't know where I am. God doesn't know what I'm doing. Do you think God took stupid pills? Come on. He knew when you left home where you were going. He knew what you were going to do. And he knew how you were going to try to cover it up. Do you ever try to fool mom and dad? Do you ever lie to them? Huh? Mom and dad don't take stupid pills either. We were working with someone a while back and they'd always lie. They'd always get in trouble. Mom and dad would bring them in, talk to pastor. Talk to pastor. He's not stupid either sometimes. But they, I'd look at them finally and say, are you nuts? You think your mom and dad can't read an odometer of a car when they say go home and go to school and you come back and there's 75 miles on it? You think your mom and dad can't read a gas gauge when they left it full and it come home empty? They realize gas just don't normally leak out of a tank? Come on. Well, I want to inform you of something, some great revelation I had. God is just a little bit smarter than your parents. And God knows just a little bit more. And he sees. And the Bible says this in Romans chapter 6. Look at it. Verse number 11, and I know we don't use that word reckon too much anymore, but consider, or verse number 11. Likewise, you must consider yourselves or reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Consider yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, if we're going to rule, if we're going to reign under Christ, and we're supposed to be doing it now on planet Earth, and we are going to do it, or Christians are going to do it in the millennium, don't you think it's a good time to learn how now? How many have ever been bound to a set of rules? Got any rules for the football team, Scott? Okay, so if the kids go out this weekend and have a big party over Labor Day and everybody's drunk, how many kids are you going to have playing next Friday night? Zero. Yeah. You know that song, Don't Take Your Gun to Town, John? Leave your gun at home, son. You know, it would have worked for Mr. Burris of the New York Giants. You know, why do you need a concealed weapon to go to a disco? Or whatever they call those things. And if you don't know how to handle it and you shoot yourself in the leg, it's not too smart. But there was happened to be a law in New York State that if you take a gun to town and you're caught with a concealed weapon, you have so many years in prison. You know the interesting part of that? I don't even know how much this is, but he had just signed a $35 million contract, I think with $15 million guaranteed. But we get the idea, even as Christians, as they get in the world, that we're bulletproof. We're bulletproof to sin. We're bulletproof to this. We don't take responsibility. We can act what we want. We can lie our way out of it. I want to tell you something. Everybody listen to me. There are some things you can't lie your way out of on planet Earth, and you'll never lie your way out of anything in heaven. Consider that you are dead to sin. Why? Because sin and Satan have the same purpose. Steal, kill, destroy. You can't con God. And most of the time you can't con people. And so if we are made to reign, we are made to have dominion, we are made to rule. You have been made with a design of God in your life. to follow him. Why shoot yourself in the foot? Do you realize that as Christians, every time we turn and walk away from God and do our own thing and live our own life, we're shooting ourselves in the foot. And God is saying, time to stop. Time to be accountable. Time to take responsibility. We can no longer say the devil made me do it. Even Flip can't say that no more. I choose. The Bible says this, practice some spiritual principles. He who the Son sets free is what? And you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? For how long? Forever. Look at me one more time before I could go to point three. I'm not done. You're going to sit here for a while. God doesn't grave on the curve. ...98% of faithfulness is still failure. 99% sin-free, still failure. You say, oh no, I can't make it. Sure you can make it. He's designed you to overcome. He's designed you to rule, not have something rule over you. He's designed you for victory. He's designed you to be more than a conqueror. He's designed you to walk and live and act like he's done. But 75% isn't passing. Can you say amen, or you say, boy, you're mean today? Amen. That was weak. That was really weak, Hanan. That was really weak. Okay. I want to look at Jesus for a moment, and then I'm going to close looking at us one more time. I want you to understand something. Our president or the Queen of England or dignitaries of the nations or political leaders of nations do not rule supremely, sovereignly. Christ does. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, I believe, that he sets up kingdoms and he tears them down. There's one sovereign potentate with dominion and ruler and king. He's called Jesus. I'm going to show you that in the Bible. But I want to take you to a couple places. The first one is found in Psalms 97. This is Old Testament. Psalm 97. Get happy now. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Listen. It's not that the Lord reigns over one little country. It says, let the whole earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. As fire goes, a fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about him. His lightnings light the world. The earth seethes and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. That's going to actually literally happen. In Zechariah 14, he sets his feet on the mountain and the mountain splits in two at his second coming. The earth declares his righteousness and all the people see his glory. Remember one thing. The Lord reigns. It is always and always will be, not pastor's way, not your way, not Obama's way, not the Republicans or the Democrats' way. It's the Lord's way. 100% of the time when we rebel, we do our own thing, we go against the word of God, we have the trouble. There comes a time when God is going to say, so be it. Enough is enough. And we are going to see, looking down, some things happen that you can never, ever imagine. It's going to happen. How did people respond when Noah said there's going to be a flood? What's a flood? What's rain? Did it come? Jesus prophesied Jerusalem would be destroyed by the Romans. Did it happen? He also prophesied that this world is going to be burnt by fire. It's going to happen. You can doubt it. You can take chances with it. You can say, Pastor's just reading something that's old. No, it's real. This book is more up to date than your school manuals will ever be. I was driving down coming into Sheridan, Wyoming, and it makes me mad, and yet I laugh. I see these signs on the mountains. This mountain is 54 billion years old. Well, I'd like to have somebody back there that was living at that time tell me they saw it 54 billion years ago. Hello. How old's the earth, Kirk?
Between 6 and 10,000 years.
Is that a little bit different, 54 billion? There wasn't even an ape back 54 billion years ago. There wasn't even an... whatever. I'll get off it. The Lord reigns. He was the only one around 54 billion years ago. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. You can find that book, Tony, can't you? He's got it right. Revelation chapter 1. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. I'm in chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and to Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. The ruler over, or the one that has dominion over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood and made us king or a kingdom of priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever. To him who is over the kings of the earth. There is one above a king, and that's the King of Kings. And it seems like in Revelation 19, I read someplace where there's a name written on him that says, King of Kings and Lords of Lord. He has not left his throne. He hasn't resigned to get married like one of the sons of one of the kings over in England. Hasn't done that. What's that word when when they leave the throne, Kirk? You know. Abdicated or whatever that word is, whatever he said. He hasn't done that, whatever it was. Revelation, again, chapter 11, verse 15. Listen to this. This is very interesting. The seventh angel sounded, they're blowing trumpets. And there was a loud voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of our Christ, and he shall reign how long? Forever. The kingdoms of the world. Abinadad over in Iran may think, I got it made, I'm king. It's just like a grasshopper talking to the Lord and saying, I've got it all together. Just like that little ant you'll step on this afternoon when you're trying to get your picnic food or tomorrow. The Bible says that God will sit down and look down on earth and laugh at what people are saying. He rules. One more look at me. You may not know it, but even if you're not serving God, He still rules your life because He has the last word. Don't ever forget it. You may say, well, I don't believe, and I'm not going to walk this out, and I'm going to do my own thing. After all, I'm just young. I should be able to have some fun, and God is just waiting. How many know God's eternal? How long is eternal? No beginning and no ending. Know what that means? That means when you're turning into dust, He's still there. That means when the heavens opened and I saw a great white throne and God is sitting on the throne and the sky and the clouds and the earth flows away from that and God says, I'm sorry, your name's not here. Or your name not in the books. It's over. God rules over every single person in hell. There's no relief. There's no second chances. So young people and mom and dad and Pastor Fearing, we might as well let Him rule now because He's going to rule forever. The kingdoms of this world has become the kingdoms of our God. That's in the tribulation. That's when Satan thinks he's in charge. Told you before, Satan don't even have the key to his own house. Jesus has the key. Get excited, Jeffrey. Jesus has the keys of death and hell. Revelation 19. Show you one more. Then I'm going to show you a couple verses about us and we'll go home. This is just before we come back for the millennial period. God is getting the horses. We might even be putting our horses. James is saddling them up. Going to do a little, couple little shows and stand on his head and go around the ring a little bit. And we're going to get on the horses. But you got to have a white one, buddy. No brown ones. And this is what is being said in heaven before we come back to earth. And I heard the voice of a great multitude in verse 6. 19:6. I heard the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God, omnipotent or all-powerful, reigns. That's all we need to know. Like the little kid that said, what's your favorite song? Jesus loves me, that's all I need to know. He reigns. Now the bottom line is this, is we have one more little point to make and we're going to let you go. Here's the point. He's designed us to rule. He has designed you to be a leader, not a follower. He's designed you to make right decisions. He's designed you just to say no. Say that word with me. No. When somebody asks you if you want drugs, what are you saying? When somebody asks you if you want to drink, what are you saying? No. Somebody asking you if you want to be promiscuous? No. 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 And you know something? Here's what they're going to say. Why? Won't you tell them?
No.
How come? How long, Lord? It's not the right answer. Oh. I'm sorry. So when they ask you why, look at them and say, I'm smarter than you. You say, oh my word, what is that all about? I'm concerned about my relationship with Jesus. If you don't get one, you're in trouble. Let me show you a few verses. Romans 5:17. Romans 5:17. For by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So I've been telling you, you're not only going to reign, you're reigning now. Put on your crowns. For by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through Jesus Christ. Will reign. 2 Timothy 2:12. 2 Timothy 2:12. Very simple little verse. If we endure, or if we suffer with him, we shall also reign or rule with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. He still remains faithful. But if we suffer with him, if we endure this life, not only are we reigning now with him, we're going to reign with him on earth. One more found in Revelation 5, 8 through 10. This is a scene in heaven. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Look at me. Your prayers aren't dead. Have you prayed for something that hasn't happened yet? Prayers of the saints are before the throne. Don't think they bounced off the ceiling. He took the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Those prayers come before God. They sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open the seals, for you were slain and you redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Okay, don't miss this now. If you think pastor kind of flipped out, and you made us kings and priests, or a kingdom of priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. One last thing and I'm done. We come to a place of everybody having their self-esteem. I want to talk to you about not self-esteem. I want to talk to you about spiritual esteem. I want you to understand, regardless of where you've been, what you've done, you are what the Bible says you are. You can have what the Bible says you can have, and you're going to be what the Bible says you're going to be. Don't ever get your spiritual esteem by how you feel. You are what God said you are in this book if you're a Christian. You have what God says you can have. And if you don't have it, we need to just say, okay, Lord, you said this. Take the Bible, open it up, and read it to him. You say, oh, I shouldn't do that. Come on. He's probably waiting to see if you really believe what you are or what you can have or what you can be. Don't hang your head and walk around and don't be a wallflower. Come to a place of walking this life out. And allow the Word of God to work out in your life exactly what He's purposed in your life that you should be and you should do. A disciple takes seriously what the Master says. Amen? A disciple becomes what the Master says you can be. And a disciple learns to follow what the Master says you're going to be doing.